Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey y'all, this is Josiah Gray, and this is Half Street High Heat. Hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of Half Street High Heat. Thank you for joining us as always. I'm Amanda. You can follow me on Twitter at awhite7877. I'm joined by my illustrious co-hosts, Ryan and Nick. You can follow Nick at The Coach Moose. You can follow Ryan at We Are All Shaq. And you can follow the show at Half Street High Heat. How are y'all doing?
That was well done.
I missed the big words.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I wasn't prepared. I didn't know I was doing the intro, so... I didn't have a good one prepared.
Yeah. See, for those that don't host podcast, the intro is harder than it looks sometimes. So sometimes hosts who normally do the intro can't do it because it's difficult.
Sometimes it's just not your day. Sometimes it's just not your night. And no. You know, and that could apply to things other than just podcasts.
Coach pulled me in the third inning. Not my night. Next time through the rotation, I'll bounce back.
Yep. You always do.
enjoying the World Baseball Classic, that's for sure. Stressing a little bit because I picked DR to win, and we're recording this in the bottom of the seventh as they're currently losing by 3 to Puerto Rico. So stressing a little bit, but you know, tomorrow when it comes out that the DR is officially eliminated, I'll pretend that I've rooted for the USA the whole time.
All right, looking forward to that.
Who also might be eliminated.
Yeah, I was going to say, and if it turns out right. they get eliminated tonight too, then I guess we're Team Japan.
I'm definitely jumping to Japan if that happens. I would have gone to the DR because they have been super fun to watch. I'm pretty shocked that they're on the verge of elimination here. Not to disrespect Puerto Rico, it's been excellent, but I really thought Dominican Republic was going to go a lot further in this tournament.
Honestly? Maybe they'll rally. Might be time to hop on the Venezuela.
I was going to say, Venezuela sweeping the pool. No one had that.
What was that you said, Ryan? I think, did you say you love Joey Meneses? Is that what I heard?
That's Mexico. That's Mexico.
I know, that's what I was saying. Is that,
He said Venezuela.
Saying. I said
He
both.
Said Venezuela or Mexico.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm a big Randy Rosarena fan. I have no idea who that other person you speak of is.
You're such a hater.
You weirdo.
I don't know. It's fun to see a Nat doing well. I mean, probably, you know, we're not going to see this in the regular season when he's, you know, going against actual major league pitching, but it's still fun to watch.
He's arguably seeing better pitching right now than
you know,
training.
You're not wrong. But anyway, I'm enjoying it. Go Joey.
It's
and
also,
I'm saying that halfway because I mean it and halfway to antagonize Nick and Ryan.
It's like for those who are also wondering or just don't know, because some people still don't know after how many years has Shaq been a thing? Like 9 now? That Shaq is like a walking bit. He is so committed to the bit that anytime we publish a Joey Meneses article or highlight, and we send it in the group chat to be retweeted, doesn't retweet it. Doesn't like
I
it.
I always notice that. I admire that kind of commitment.
He does a great job
seriously.
Of promoting anyone else's work. But Joey Manessa is in that title, and he is blind eye yeah. ghosting it. He's committed.
I'm glad you guys know this.
Oh, 100%.
I didn't feel dead.
Oh, yeah.
I admire your commitment to the bit. There are sometimes bits that are so good that you can just only appreciate them. I remember when I listened to 106.7 a lot because I'm in the car all the time. And when I listened to Grit and Danny, when they used to do middays and Chad Dukes was still on, Danny used to always do this bit right at the end, not always, but often, where he'd be like, and up next is Baseball Dukes, where he's going to, discuss the changes in, whatever stat between, because Chad Dukes would never, ever talk about baseball. And he was so committed to it. And I don't think anybody ever noticed, and they never said anything about it. But it was like one of my all time favorite bits that he would do. I really like the subtle ones. And that one, Ryan, was a super subtle one.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you. You can't see me, but I'm taking the bow right now.
We need to have a draft of like top five Shaq bits of all time. You've got to have had like 15 at least in your career.
Oh, I've had more than that.
I know. We'd have to get like a list to work from, because I don't even know if I could do a draft.
The tournament starts, so it's gonna be a Shaq bit tournament.
Yeah, do you have 64? You got 64 bits to pull from?
Maybe at least 32.
I might.
Oh my god, I would so be into that. That would be the most popular thing we ever did on Twitter.
God.
I'm just thinking.
No,
I'm trying to think of like the great ones over the years. Because like some aren't really bits, like the most hated player thing, that's not a bit, that's real.
I was gonna say that's my favorite one.
That's real life.
That one's the best because it gets like a whole following. People are waiting for it. It has like anticipation about it.
And
Chili's thing was the best.
The Chili's thing was the best just because of what it led to. I mean,
and like how many people would tweet me when they were in Chili's?
Yeah, no, that's
and
probably.
I still got some of
answer.
Our Chili's swag. I use my Chili's coffee mug all the time.
Yeah,
I've still got Chili's swag from that bit.
It's just like a fake it till you make it type thing, and it worked. It worked. Oh man, I miss Chili's. I haven't been to a Chili's in a long time.
No, neither have I.
Trying to think of the last time.
Maybe we should all go. Maybe we need to go to Chili.
Maybe we do. Maybe you do. Maybe they should sponsor us again. But there are some. I know I'm not technically hosting tonight, but I did want to like bring a quick pitch to the table. K-Bear Ruiz extended. The hell is going on?
Love it so much. I couldn't believe it. I really thought it was like somebody was trolling for a quick minute. When I first saw the news break, because this is just not a thing that the Nets do. But man, right. When you look at the cost by year breakdown, it highway robbery. I cannot believe we've got him locked up for this long. Now, I mean, if he turns out not to be, quite as good as everyone's hoping, that's still fine. Those numbers are such that like absolutely having a consistent, long-term young catcher who's decent, even if he never gets beyond decent, I'm fine with this signing. That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, like, I mean, go ahead, Ryan.
It's hard not to like it. Like, I was kind of shocked. I didn't believe that at first, just because this team doesn't really extend people. And I was like, holy crap, they actually did it. And I immediately got sad because all the times,
they didn't.
They didn't extend people. But, like, now I actually have a jersey that's safe to wear, so that's pretty cool. But yeah. If he doesn't pan out, it's fine. It's, what, $9 million a year? Who cares? That's nothing. That's backup catcher money. Only the elite catchers truly get paid at this position. You're looking at maybe two or three people that actually get paid. Catcher money isn't really a big thing. So I'm happy they got this done. I'm happy they got locked up. And also it makes me feel so much better because I was so scared they're going to make Riley Adams a thing when Riley Adams is just atrocious at baseball. So this makes me feel a lot better about that.
Yeah. I wrote an article for District on Deck, so I'll divert everyone to the site and just keep my thoughts short here, but to both your point about like the average annual value, like catchers don't get paid a ton to begin with just because they don't always age well. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but his contract is a $6 million AAV, which is backup platoon catcher money. So even if he doesn't progress at all, his defense still warrants a platoon mm-hmm. catcher role on any team. So you're paying him for his floor, basically.
Yeah.
And you still have mm-hmm. all the ceiling to work with upside, and he's going to get better. Like, like barring some unfortunate, unforeseen catastrophe, like, he's going to get better. So in theory, he's going to outperform that contract. And even the club options at the very end, I don't know what years they are, like 2023 or 2024 or whatever, or 34, those are fake years anyways. Like, the club option is for $12 million and $14 million, which right now, obviously, prices for catchers will increase when guys like Will Smith and Adley and all those guys sign new extensions. $12 million or $14 million is only like sixth or seventh right now. And again, you're still having all that upside to work with. So it's just a phenomenal deal. And, you know, for K-Bear, if you're really pro player, which I support, you're like, why would you sign it now? Well, you know, that's security. Like, baseball contracts are guaranteed, and you don't have to go through the yearly hassle with arbitration. You know, the one counterpoint is like, oh, well, Victor Robles deserved a extension after 2019. Well, Victor Robles is kind of a enigma in a lot of
regards. Yeah, but aren't you glad we didn't extend
right.
him?
After well, yeah, that's kind of the point. It's like, well, what if Ruiz turns into another Victor Robles? But again, like, if Victor Robles was making $6 million a year with that defense, like, it's fine.
Right.
And that's coming from me, like, the biggest Victor Robles hater on planet Earth. So, like, it's just a smart deal for both sides. Like, the player gets what he wants. He gets long-term security. And the Nats have officially a building block. Like, it's nice to see the Nats actually put their money where their mouth is and believe in somebody and officially make them a building block. And as Ryan said, you have a safe jersey to buy, which, like, wasn't the case. Like, you
those truly, are thin on the ground around here.
You truly did not have a single safe jersey. Like, I love Josiah Gray to death. I bought a Josiah Gray City Connect jersey last year, and I'm like petrified that it's going to be out of commission in like a year or two. Just the way things are going with the Nats, it has nothing to do with Josiah Gray. So, like, it's nice to know, hey, I can buy a jersey and actually use it for a while.
Well, one more thing to point out for this too that I love is that, you know, let's say that things go great and he's just okay and we find a better catcher, or even a better catcher and backup catcher, and we don't feel like we need him. That's an ultra tradable contract.
Yeah.
You know, it's one that it's great if he's here. It's great if we decide to trade him. Like, to me, there's no downsides to this, because as you said, even if he doesn't really pan out and live up to the hype, then, you know, it's still at that money. It doesn't feel like a bad deal even that way. So
no, super excited. I don't think they're done yet, because typically you don't make one of those deals. You probably make two or three. Like, look at what the Braves did. They obviously started and continued on over the course of several years, but they signed Acuna and Albies basically at the same time. And then, you know, obviously continued to add on. I'm not trying to say that the Nats will pull full Braves and sign like seven guys to 8-year long contracts. But if that's the direction they're going, it seems like they are going to try to lock guys up sooner rather than later and learn from their mistakes.
Well, that would be a nice change.
Yeah, for sure. So early prediction, I think Luis Garcia is the one to watch. Same representation. Mm-hmm. They both left Boris.
Both yeah, that was an interesting thing, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what to take away from that. I saw that they had both left Boris, and then of course we got the Ruiz signing, but I'm just not sure kind of what that means. Obviously Boris is one who doesn't like to take, you know, to have people sign extensions. He likes to take his players to free agency, but I feel like any player could do like Strasburg did and just say, get a deal done. You know,
to be honest, and I'm pro Scott Boris. I think he's great for baseball. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm not going to say anything bad about him, but at the same time, I think he wanted no part of that extension, and whether it be like hurt his numbers or whatever to say, you know, a $6 million AAV like doesn't do anything for him.
Oh, you probably think he fired himself?
Yeah. It was probably just more of a mutual thing where it's like they wanted extensions and he knew the best route was for them to at least have like an all-star season, right? Like they haven't even had that. And I'm lumping Luis Garcia in here because I do think, obviously, teammates, same representation. And Garcia had been with Boris longer than Ruiz had. So I do think he wants one too. And I think the Nationals are smart to just wait a minute, because I have high hopes for Garcia, but it doesn't hurt to get a little bit more of a sample size before you commit 8 years to a guy. But I do think it's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Agreed.
Yep.
I'd like to see it.
I would like to see it as well. All right. Do you want me to just handle the
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So I let Amanda do the intro. Now I'm in my long relief role.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't planning on it tonight, so I don't have anything prepared.
All right. So we are continuing with our division preview tonight. We are finishing at the American League and talking AL West tonight. So Astros, Angels, Athletics, Rangers, and Mariners, not in that order, but those are just teams, just a refresher. And let's start at the top with, obviously, the defending World Series champions, the Houston Astros, which seems so crazy to think about, you know, with all they've lost and how much they've been able to sustain production-wise with homegrown talent. It's almost like drafting and developing well is important to sustaining success, and you can't just solely do it through free agency. They did do it through trade. Like, obviously they traded for Cole and Verlander and some other guys, but I think that technically they even traded for Yordan Alvarez, but point being, you still have to develop well. And Astros have done that last year. Like I mentioned, World Series champions with, you know, all the losses they've had, team MVP, Yordan Alvarez, who's, I like, Shohei gets all the hype and rightfully so, but Yordan Alvarez is almost like must watch TV too, with the things he can do with the bat. Mm-hmm. Unreal. Team Cy Young, couple different options. And I'll get to this point when we get into our like larger breakdown. Framber Valdez had a great year, but you know, there's a couple other guys that are under the radar that could really step up this year. What are your guys' thoughts on the Astros, and do you think this is a year after losing Verlander? Like, are they bound to repeat their success? Maybe not World Series, but do you think they'll have a playoff push this year?
Oh yeah, I mean, playoffs, obviously, to me. I think they win the AL West again. I don't know about the World Series, although they're certainly at, you know, near the top of the list. But, you know, they lost Verlander, which is a massive loss. But, you know, they got Jose Abreu. They re-signed Michael Brantley. I mean, they did a lot to, you know, strengthen the team. And I don't know that you can replace a guy like Verlander, but they've got a lot of talent on that team. And Hunter Brown is actually one of the guys that I think is super interesting. He's actually looks like he's going to start for them in the rotation because of McCullers being injured. Although I did read just yesterday or today that McCullers may be coming back sooner than they thought. He's already throwing, so I don't know how long it will be before that, you know, Hunter Brown is actually in the starting rotation. But they've got a lot of great starting pitchers, but there's always injuries to starting pitchers, so he's going to get a lot of time, I think, in the rotation this year, whether it's, you know, right now for McCullers, but he'll be in and out later as he, you know, matures and gets more major league experience. But he's my dark horse candidate. I think if he can have a fantastic year for them, even though he's not one of their, like, you know, supposed to be in the top in the rotation. Yeah, not, but I think if he has a great year for them, they're, you know, you always can count on the fact that you're going to need starting pitching depth. And if he can be as good as I think he can be, I believe he's their top prospect. If he can be as good as it looks like he can be, he's had a couple of bad outings this spring, but the most recent one wasn't bad. And I don't know, spring training, you know, guys are working on stuff. Like, I don't put too much stock in what pitchers do in spring training, but yeah, I think he's going to be really excellent. And I think the Astros are kind of the obvious choice to win the division. The Mariners are the only ones who would challenge, and I don't think they'll be good enough to unseat the Astros as the AL West champs.
I like it. Ryan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, the Astros, my pick to win the AL West. I actually think they go back to back this year. I think they're the first team since, what was it, 99, 2000 Yankees. I think they go back to back. Their lineup is absolutely disgusting. Once again, the Astros are loaded. I don't think they win 100 games. The more I think about it, I don't think anyone in baseball wins 100 games this year, but they're going to be at that 98.
That's a hot take, Ryan. Range.
Everyone plays everyone. Everyone does play the bad teams, but everyone also has to play all the elite teams as well. So that's going to even out.
I love so that.
I don't think any team wins 100. That is a hot take. I'm full of them. Every single year, this lineup is just absolutely absurd. It doesn't matter who they lose. They just pop someone in.
It's and so just, annoying.
They're just an absolute machine. And they also have probably the best GM hire in a long time. They took the man who was cooking everything for the Braves. So now the Astros are going to have a bunch of team-friendly deals with this absolutely insane team, which is annoying. But Altuve, Tucker, Bregman, Alvarez, Abreu, Pena.
That's so crazy.
Go that 1-6 goes head-to-head with every single 1-6 in baseball. Like, put a head-to-head. They can compete with everyone. The only question they do have is, can any of these young starters step up and be that ace? They've never had to because Verlander is there. That's a good question. But when you look at the rotation, Valdez, Javier, Garcia, Lance, Jose, that's stupid. Whenever Lance is back, that is a stupid, stupid rotation. They have pretty good depth. They're going to be in the market for the top starting pitcher, whoever comes up. They'll at the deadline. They're going to reload like they always do with the deadline. This team is just good. And it's kind of funny because we're just seeing what we saw a couple years ago when the A's were good. Now it's the Mariners. It doesn't really matter what everyone else does in that division. It's the Astros world, and we're just living in it.
Yep,
yeah,
they are.
Hard to argue with that.
Yeah, they are quite good. Ryan, did you have a dark horse?
Just if any of their young guys.
Just any of the – okay, gotcha. Yeah. I feel like I always start off with, like, one that's not really a dark horse, but screw it. I'm going to keep with the theme. Like, Jeremy Pena. Great year last year. Obviously, you know, top five in Rookie of the Year voting. I believe he won the Gold Glove, and everyone knows the postseason performance he had. And I'm not trying to say he had, like, this crazy outlier year. Like, he had a solid year as a rookie, 22 home runs, 63 RBIs. Is that sustainable? Is, like, that who he's going to be? Or are we just scratching the surface? Is he going to be the next great shortstop for the Astros? Because, you know, history of players tells you, like, you're going to improve. Your first year in the league is not your best year. So if this is just him scratching the surface, he's already part of the best, one of the best top six in the lineup, or top six lineups in baseball, like Ryan said. But if he elevates his game to a 30 home run, you know, 90 RBI, what was his OPS last year? Like, oh yeah, his OPS was only 715. If he's all of a sudden now a mid 800s OPS, like, that lineup, there's no getting around it. And it's crazy to think after, like I mentioned, all they've lost, that they can continue to do this. You guys are both probably right. The X factor probably lies in the bullpen, or sorry, the rotation. But I'm just very curious to see if Jeremy Pena is for real, or if it was just kind of like, you know, a super hot stretch for a young guy. So that's my dark horse for the Astros. But the Nats will have a 2019 World Series rematch with the Astros June 13th through 15th in Houston.
Don't think it's going to go the same
way. I was going to say, naturally, they don't have a single player in their lineup outside of Victor Robles that will have played in that World Series. But who knows?
God, that's depressing.
Crazier things have happened. Crazier things have happened. All right, moving on to the Seattle Mariners. Kind of a feel-good story last year, ending a, like, 20-plus year playoff drought. I believe they were the 5 seed in the AL, 90 wins, super fun team, made some acquisitions this year that should kind of deepen their lineup a little bit. Teoscar Hernandez, Colton Wong. They made the big splash for Luis Castillo at the deadline last year. So they pair him with Robbie Ray and Gilbert and Kirby, having one of the, you know, low key deep rotations in baseball. It's just they happen to be in the Astros division. So, you know,
sucks to sucks to be you. Yeah.
But I do think they will be entertaining. And I didn't even mention their team MVP, Julio Rodriguez, who made a very, very unfortunate error tonight.
Oh my gosh, that was so ugly. Classic.
So that kind of stinks. But he had a phenomenal year last year. He's Ryan's guy. Ryan was all over it before the year started and proved Ryan right. As far as Team Cy Young, I mean, that could be any of the four guys I mentioned. Castillo is probably the favorite right now, but all four of those guys are really, really, really solid and should contribute to what should be one of the better rotations in baseball. Ryan, what are your thoughts on the Mariners? And do you think Julio is an MVP candidate this year?
Yeah, Julio is very, very shortly will be talked about as one of the top 10, 15 best players in the league. Absolutely love Julio. He's going to keep building on what he did last year. He's a stud. I go so back and forth on this team. A lot of the projections do not like them this year. They have them regressing kind of hard. Pecota has them winning 82 games. I think Zips has them winning 85 games. I go back and forth on them. The lineup does lack a little bit of pop in the middle. Their outfield, it's pretty interesting. They have Jared, Kalenic. Doesn't deserve to be said. Yeah, Kalenic, doesn't deserve to be said, right? He's not good. Do you like Teoscar Hernandez?
Hey, that's my dark horse candidate you're talking about. No slander.
That's actually a beautiful dark horse candidate to pick because he's not very good.
So I'm not allowed to pick Julio Rodriguez as my dark horse.
He's a pretty, I don't know how dark of a horse you would consider him.
Like, this, I don't know. This team just, the rotation's good. The lineup, I just don't really get right now. But it kind of reminds me a lot of like some Cardinals teams we've seen in the past. They're that old Camry that you see on the road. It's beat up. It's ugly, but that thing has 200,000 miles on it, and it works beautifully. That's this team. They're going to find a way to win 85 to 90 games, even though just on paper you don't really think they will. They're going to be right there. I still think they're going to come in second place. They're just built like so many of those Cardinals teams.
That's a great comp.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I agree with you. They're really hard to kind of nail down. Some teams you're like, this team's going to kick ass. Other teams you're like, this team's trash. It's really hard with them because I feel like it's been that way for a couple of years now. They kind of surprise you. And now that they've like broken through and they've made the playoffs after so many years, was it 20 years, 21, 22 years, something like that without,
yeah, 21, you know,
I think now the expectations on them are going to be a little bit higher. Now people want them to win in the playoffs, not just to get there. Yeah, I mean, Julio Rodriguez is ridiculous. When I was looking at, when I was thinking about who I wanted to be my dark horse for the Mariners, I found a thing that said that, I want to say he was ranked, that Jared Kalenic, who of course has been a vast disappointment, was ranked only one spot behind Julio Rodriguez on their prospect list for a while, which is kind of crazy to think about. It reminds me of the Victor Robles, Juan Soto situation that we had here, where everybody had such high hopes for Robles, and it, you know, until Soto came up, nobody really thought too much about Soto, and then all of a sudden he was the best player in baseball, and Robles is, well, he's Robles. But anyway, Kalenic. So the hype around him was so crazy, and it was probably a lot of times when you have a lot of hype around a prospect, it's maybe too much pressure for them. But he was, I mean, so disappointing. It was so bad. He was, I want to say he hit, let me look it up, 141 last year. Now, granted, it was 163 at bats, and, you know, he's young, and I'm sure he'll get better. He's got nowhere to go but up. But he's having a really insanely hot spring. And if Michael A. Taylor taught me anything, it's not to believe batting stats in spring training. But he is hitting I think this article was from a day or two ago, but he was hitting at that time 448, 484, 1,000 in 11 games, which included 13 hits, two doubles, a triple, four homers, eight runs scored, nine RBIs, three stolen bases, two walks, and six strikeouts. I mean, that's crazy. And I don't think he'll be that in the regular season, but if he can improve from where he was last year and be anything, I mean, even two thirds or half of what he's showing in spring, it would be a vast improvement over last year. And I think they need him. Rodriguez is amazing, but you've got to get something out of Kelenic in order for that team to really be successful and really make a run into the playoffs. They might limp into the playoffs if he's bad again, but I think if they want to go far, he's going to have to be the dark horse.
Yep, I think you are correct in that regard, but I want to talk about Cal Raleigh, the big dumper. Mm-hmm. 27 home runs last year from a catcher is phenomenal production, regardless what the other stats look like. You get 27 home runs from your catcher, you're usually pretty happy, and he's no slouch defensively either. But if you look from 2021 to 2022, he wasn't a full-time starter. He only played in 47 games. But his offensive stats were just flat out not good. And I don't think anyone saw his 2022 performance coming. He raised his OPS by like 240 points, his on-base percentage by like 50 points, his batting average by like 30 points. I don't know how much more room there is for improvement, you know, in those kind of advanced stats or other stats outside of, you know, just the power numbers. But if he can, that is like a huge help to this lineup, because it is a little suspect. It's better than it was last year, at least at the start of the year. But it certainly needs help. And if you're getting, you know, close to an 800 OPS out of the catcher position, that does a lot to help lengthen your lineup. And something that the Mariners are going to need to compete over 162 against, you know, some of the best teams in the league that happen, or I guess the best team in the league that happens to be in their division as well. So I think the Mariners, rather than trying to bet on a guy like Kelenic, who they're hoping, not that he's not a dark horse, not that he can't turn around. Like, I think they're going to need guys who have shown the possibility for improvement to kind of take their game up a notch yet again for them to have sustained successes here. And I think
not buying that spring training stat line there, huh?
No, you brought up Michael A. Taylor and I was immediately out.
Yeah, that's what I said. If he has taught me anything, it's that those spring training numbers don't matter.
Yeah, I was immediately out. You want to like make your argument, bring up Michael A. Taylor, and I'll have a firm opinion one way or another. That is for sure. But the Nationals head over to Seattle, other part of the country, in June 26th to the 28th. It'll be a fun late night Nats series. I assume it will be over there. So let's talk about the Los Angeles Angels and all the stars they have over there. Always so funny talking about the Angels and what they have but have never really been able to do. We know Shohei Ohtani, we know Mike Trout, our good friend Anthony Rendon's still over there. They made some additions to their the thing with the Angels is it's always been their rotation. It's always been the rotation. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they don't address it. Like, yeah, they signed Tyler Anderson and Patrick. They have Patrick Sandoval as well, like behind Ohtani. But is that really doing anything?
I wonder if the immense contracts they gave to Trout and to Rendon is making them not want to spend more money.
No, because look at the Padres. I mean,
I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying maybe they're not willing to do it.
Well, that's like the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, that's just,
I'm not arguing with you.
Anyways, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, like, if you want to put them one and two best players of baseball, I don't think anyone's really going to argue with you. But after that, that's it. And Rendon could be great, but he's never healthy anymore. And after that, what is there to say about the Angels, really?
Hunter Renfroe, Brandon Drury. Those were the offseason signings, right? I mean,
Yeah. But are we really thinking this is going to do anything to their team?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, it just seems like they're watching them waste Mike Trout's career is infuriating to me, truly. Like the fact that they're not willing to ever just go all in and say, screw it, like mortgage the farm, do whatever you can, spend all the money, just let's go win a World Series with Mike Trout so that the rest of us baseball fandom could enjoy that is really irritating. But, you know, Rendon has been a dreadful signing for them. I mean, he's I saw something that I loved about Rendon, which you know he hasn't played much because he's been hurt, but including this shortened season in 2020, which was only 60 games, he has played less than a full season of baseball in the four seasons he has been in an Angels uniform. 157 games played since he signed with them. That is horrid. And he hasn't been that good when he has played.
And he hit a home run left-handed, so watch yourself.
Well, that's hard. You make a good point. But, you know, it's funny. As funny as it sounds, I chose Rendon as my dark horse because he is the one. I was thinking to myself, who needs to be good for the Angels to make a run this year? And it's Rendon. Like, they've got to get, like you said, there's not much else going on in that lineup. And if he is another injury-riddled season, if he's not good, this team's not going anywhere. And I actually think that Ohtani is going to get traded midseason.
I think it would be smart of them to do so.
Right. It's the thing that's going to finally get them out of this funk they've been in for so many years. Like, you can get such a haul for Ohtani. It would be malpractice not to.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to need it. They're going to need a haul. Like, I hate to use like the Nats as an example, but like
the Bryce Harper level malpractice.
Yeah. But like, we would not be anywhere near where we are right now, even if we didn't trade away those guys. Like, if we had just lost Scherzer and then Turner for nothing,
right?
Like, I guess obviously the majority of it came from Juan Soto, but you know, we let those guys go for nothing, like we would be screwed.
We would. And again, the Harper's the comp for me. Like, you let you know, you had a trade in place with the Astros for Harper and you chose not to do it in hopes that you could re-sign him. And that wasn't the move. Like, you should have, if you didn't have him already re-signed or already, you know, at least verbally sort of agreed to re-sign here, you should have traded him. You could have gotten a huge haul for Harper in 2018 and they got nothing. And that would be, I would be shocked if the Angels don't trade him. I just don't know how you can pass up an opportunity to restock like you could, if especially if they're already out of contention, which I expect they probably will be.
Yeah, they'll win their 76 games and whatever that's worth. Ryan, what are your thoughts on the Angels?
I'm glad you guys made the points you did about the Angels, because it's actually a very common misnomer. The Angels' problem isn't pitching. The problem is their lineup. Last year, the Angels had the most at-bats from below replacement-level players in the league, more than the Nationals, more than the Pirates, more than the A's. They led the league, and it wasn't particularly close either. Their lineup fell apart. And, surprise to everyone, their starting pitching had the sixth best ERA in baseball. Their bullpen was exactly league average. The lineup fell apart. They went out. I thought they would have gone out and been a little bit more aggressive, make a big sign to Shohei Ohtani, like, hey, look, we want to win. But they didn't. That's okay. The best player, probably the most talented player who's ever played the game, is going to leave. And you know what? Shame on you. Damn. I don't get what the – yeah, they're not very well ran. The roster construction is a little weird. They went out. They got Brandon Drury, Carlos Estevez, Hunter Renfro, who, by the way, is the best six hitter in the league. 40 home runs in his last 162 games. If he's batting six for you,
wow,
you're doing pretty well. Kind of underrated. Gio Urshela, don't really care about. Tyler Anderson, Jake Lamb.
He's not doing so great in the WBC.
No, he's not. Doesn't scream star power. But this is going to be the Angels team that just finds the way to make the playoffs. Watch it. They're going to get that last wild card spot. Just watch. If they stay healthy, that rotation is going to be good again. And if the lineup stays healthy and they get a full season or even close to a full season, and now this is getting bold, because you know that lineup has not been able to stay healthy the last several years.
I was going to say, because Rendon and Trout staying healthy all season is quite an if.
But if they can get the full healthy season from Taylor Ward, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, Anthony Rendon, Hunter Renfro, Brandon Drury, that's a pretty solid lineup. They're going to score runs. The question is just health. Mike Trout's probably going to play 100 games. That's okay because he'll hit 40 home runs in those games. If Rendon can stay healthy, that's huge. And Rendon is also my dark horse as well because if he's healthy, he's still there. He just hasn't been healthy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not for years.
I echo all your guys' thoughts on the Angels, but so I'll just go to my dark horse players. It's basically the outfield outside of Mike Trout. So I'm kind of just lumping them all together. So Taylor Ward, I think I don't know where exactly he's going to play for them, but he had a great year last year. So it's more about Mickey Moniak and Joe Adell, though they were both terrible last year. And I know Moniak came over midseason from the trade with the Phillies, but they're just simply going to need more. Like they're, as they stand right now, production wise, they're not playable. And they're both young guys that the Angels need to have develop for them to really have any sustained success. Like, I think, Ryan, you made a lot of great points, but I don't personally think Hunter Renfroe, Brandon Drury is enough to lengthen the lineup enough to like really give you quality options outside of Trout and Ohtani, obviously, over the course of 162. Yes, they're probably going to have good stretches, and, you know, maybe they will be in it come September, but I just don't, on paper, I don't think this is a playoff team, but at the same time, baseball isn't played on paper. So we'll see. I do think they'll need to have the development from their young guys in the lineup for them to really, you know, do anything of note this year. Otherwise they're going to lose Ohtani and have nothing to show for it. And they might not have anything to show for it anyways, but at least they can give it their best effort if they have some of these young guys step up. So we shall see.
Do you think that Trout will be happy? I mean, I know he signed the, like, forever extension to finish his career there, but do you think he's going to be happy if Ohtani goes and they're just, you know, mediocre at best for the rest of his career? Like, I cannot imagine a guy as good as him being content with that.
I can name 450 million reasons why I think he'll be okay with it.
Yeah, but he could get a huge amount of money from other places. I don't know. Like, I feel like if he became available, the Mets and the Dodgers and the, you know, the Yankees would pay him a gazillion dollars. I don't know. It's just so weird to me. I find it so where I started this discussion on the Angels, Mike Trout being wasted is infuriating. The thought of him staying there his whole career and never getting to see him do what he could do on a real team that's really trying to compete it sucks.
So I have a bold take.
All right, let's hear
Ryan had his tonight. I'm going to have mine. I'm going to get mine. I'm leaving here with something. So provided that Mike Trout continues to hit the way he does, which I imagine he will, he's not going to be a center fielder for much longer in his career. He'll probably move to a corner and he'll be a more than fine corner outfielder. But provided he continues to hit the way he does, I think Mike Trout gets traded at some point in his Angels career, and probably sooner rather than later.
That's kind of where I was going with that question. Like, do you think at some point he's going to tell him, like, please trade me?
I don't even think it's that. It might be like a mutual decision, like after like heart to heart with ownership or whatever. But we know the Angels were about to be sold. They got pulled off the market. I would imagine they're probably going to get sold within the next couple of years. At that point, if Trout is still producing and healthy enough, and he's 31 right now, I believe.
So maybe in his 33, 34 years. Yeah, like something. He'll probably be a DH at some point.
Right, something like that, which is why it, you know, provided he still needs to be hitting well, because, you know, that's obviously his future. I do think a team trades are, like, we're, a lot of that has to do with the Nats, but it feels like, maybe it's just recency bias, we're at a point in baseball where you're seeing these blockbuster trades more and more, and, you know, teams are kind of more okay giving up prospects, but also trading away these, you know, superstars to reset. Like, I guess it's kind of like a basketball effect. Like, that's really the only sport I can think of where that it has been common practice to trade away superstars, and they're always changing teams. And I don't think baseball will get to the basketball effect where you see superstars changing teams every year, but I do think it is becoming more common practice to see these superstars get traded for huge hauls. And I think looking at the Angels, assuming they don't have a miraculous playoff run in the next year or two, I do think they're just going to press full reset, because they just, if you haven't been able to do it well, having Mike Trout for 10 years, like, I mean, what's to say the next 10 years are going to be different?
Not to interrupt you, but Edwin Diaz just obliterated his near ankle celebrating. He's getting carried off the field right now.
Did he really?
Yeah. The Mets are cursed.
Mets gonna Met. Mets gonna Met. Return of our favorite segment. Keeping up with the Mets.
But that is so brutal.
I do love that segment. We gotta bring that back.
Let's back. This is our first keeping
up with the first segment. To the NL East.
Oh, I always like the way Ryan said, keeping up with the. I missed that one. We definitely need to bring that back.
Oh, man. But anyways, yeah, Angels, that's my hot take. And we'll see. Seems like we have a split decision on the Angels this year. So we'll have to see who's right. Or they're just going to split the middle and like just not be a playoff team and not be bad. So, or we'll win like 85 games, which is probably the most they've won in several years or anything. Something like that. But all right, let's pause for a couple seconds and get a word from our sponsors.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we are back and continuing on with our AL West preview, but I do have to mention, I just got the tweet notification from Jeff Passan that Edwin Diaz was placed into a wheelchair. Like, because
not gonna lie,
the notification pops up. That's all I saw, and I started laughing.
It was really, really similar to when Paul Pierce had diarrhea and they had to carry him off the field. Like, it looked really, really similar to that.
That one always killed me. Like, how do you have diarrhea so badly that you need to be carried away? Like,
listen, we're not going to judge anyone for their IBS or like symptoms. Okay.
That one always just sent me over the edge. I was like, wow, like how horrible. I don't know. Like, I guess I'll just count myself lucky that I've never had an experience like that. I don't know.
I think Ryan.
I'm sorry for Edwin Diaz. That's terrible.
Ryan, you've needed a wheelchair to go poop before, right?
In public. The great disaster of 07.
We shall never speak of it again.
Yeah, I'm sorry for bringing it up.
It happens again.
Oh, no.
Those were dark times. We don't talk about that. It was before the war. Anyways, let's get back on track here.
Hold on a second. You know the Seinfeld episode where Kramer's trying to get Frank the cook, but he's so traumatized from all the people he got sick in the war, and there's like the really dramatic flashback?
Yes, I know the one you mean.
Thank you. That's what happens to me anytime I see a wheelchair.
Oh, I see. That's what happens to Nick anytime he tries to get back on track. And Ryan's just straight up like, no, we're not going back on track. I have something else to say.
We're continuing with this until I say so. Oh, man. I forgot to mention the Nats go to Anaheim early in the year. They're there April 10th through the 13th. So we will get some West Coast Nats, late night Nats early in the year. And hopefully the Angels are healthy. So we won't see it, but we can at least watch a good Angels lineup and see our good friend Anthony Rendon. All right, moving on to the next team in the division, that is the Texas Rangers. You want to talk about a team that's really trying to compete? Love it. Mm-hmm. I think they've been one of the real catalysts to not small market like they're Dallas or Arlington, whatever you want to consider them, but the teams, the unexpected teams spending money, I think the Rangers had a lot to do with that. Obviously last year signing Seager and Semien in the same offseason, and then this year obviously going to get Jacob deGrom and bringing home, and they've made a lot of solid other supplementary moves as well that I really like. You got breakout campaign from Nathaniel Lowe and Jonah Heim, and they have Adolis Garcia. Like, they have a really interesting team. It's just a matter of, can they put it all together? Can their, I'll just say this, their rotation could be really, really good. Their rotation could also not exist by May. Like,
that's what I was gonna say. DeGrom is already hurt.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to watch. I at least like that they're trying, and for that fact, I am rooting for them. And plus, it's going to feel nice to actually be able to root for DeGrom now. Now that he's not on the Mets. But this team is as good as they could be. Like, so many questions, and I really hope that they can have at least a decent stretch of the year where they are healthy. I went bold, put them in a playoff spot, and that's obviously if things all go right, but you know, who knows. I think Corey Seager, yeah, I think it was, I don't know if it was with Trey. Anyway, I think it was with Trey, because we were probably talking about shortstops. I think Corey Seager wins an MVP in the next year or two. That was my hot take on my last hot take on one of these episodes. Obviously Jacob deGrom. Oh, I actually picked Jacob deGrom to win Cy Young this year. So there you go. There you go. I'm all over the Rangers this year.
Well, but I think if I can see why you put them in a playoff spot, because if he wins a Cy Young, I think they will be. I just don't think he'll be healthy.
No, but anyways, what are you guys' thoughts on the Rangers?
Okay. Well, I do not have them in a playoff spot. I'm thinking like 500.
Coward.
Probably, because I don't think that they've made a lot of good moves. I mean, like $500 million they paid to Seager and Semien. It was a lot of money. And then they went out and got DeGrom, and like they're trying, and I love it. I have great respect for it. I don't think this is going to be the year where all of those things come together. DeGrom is so funny. I almost thought about making DeGrom the dark horse, which seems ridiculous, but it's because his health is so questionable. He's undoubtedly the best pitcher on the planet when he's pitching, but you just cannot count on, I mean, what if they only get, you know, 100 innings out of him this year? You know what I mean? I don't know. I can't get behind a team that has to rely so much on Jacob deGrom. And so I did not choose him as my dark horse, though. I decided to go with Eovaldi, which I love that signing. I think it was kind of a low risk, high reward. It was only 2 years, I think $34 million, which, you know, for starting pitching, that's not a bad price. And if he can be anything like what he was for the Red Sox for all those years, and it's not that far removed. I mean, he was in the top. I mean, he was in the MVP voting in 2021. He just had an injury filled year last year. You know, I mean, so he was one of the top five pitchers in baseball a little over a year ago. So I think that's a great signing. And if that pans out for them and they can keep, you know, even if it's kind of a workload is managed a little bit under Grom, if he can stay reasonably healthy, that's their shot. I think they need their rotation to be what they're trying to build it up to be. And Eovaldi is, I think, along with DeGrom, the key.
Ryan, what do you
think? I agree, Amanda. The Rangers season, it's really, really simple. If they get 500 innings from DeGrom, Heaney, and Eovaldi, they win 90 games. If it's closer to 300, they win 80 games. Those three will decide how the season goes. If those three are healthy, this team is going to be very good. Like I said, they will be closer to 90 games, because that's a pretty good 1-2-3 punch in your rotation. Mm-hmm. Their lineup is pretty good as well. They were 18th in average and 12th in runs last year, 19th in OPS. I think they'll be a little bit better. Seager and Semien got off to slow starts last year, getting adjusted to a new league. Stuff like that does take a little bit of time. So I do think that they are going to be a little bit better offensively. It's going to come down to those three. And I hate being boring and picking it, but like, the health is dark horse. But if you want to go a real dark horse, I'm going Bubba Thompson. I respect any man with the name Bubba. I'm rooting for you. I hope you turn out to be great. Name Bubba. You're destined to be great.
That's it. No other reason. Named Bubba. I'm rooting for you. I'm with you.
Honestly, that's all a guy needs. And then, rest of the rotation. I was just thinking about Perez.
John Gray. Yeah. Heaney. Who's their fifth starter?
Andrew Heaney. Eovaldi.
Yeah, it was Heaney, Eovaldi, DeGrom, and Gray.
Martin Perez.
Yeah, Martin Perez. Okay. I couldn't remember their fifth one.
Yeah. So I'll go Jacob DeGrom, Cy Young, because if he's healthy, he's going to have another sub-2 ERA and just be absolutely obnoxious.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm loving that he'll be obnoxious in the AL West. Love it.
It's pretty funny that he leaves and then his first starts against the Phillies. Phillies are still tormented by him.
That is pretty great, actually.
Yeah. All right. The Nationals will host the Rangers for 3 games, July 7th through the 9th. So right around midseason. So the Rangers will probably be decimated at that point. All right. The last team. I mean, we talk about the Nats because we have to. Not sure we need to talk about the A's. Don't really know what there is to say.
You know, all you need to say is that their projected payroll is for this year is 25,000 or 25 million. 25,000 sounds about right. 25,500,000.
Like naturally, they're going to have players come out of the woodwork and they're going to have top prospects that graduate and become like really solid guys that inevitably they'll trade in 2 to 3 years. But I don't really know what to start with this team. Like it sucks to me as a Nats fan that this is the team we're compared to. Like this is the team that we'll be fighting with for the worst record in baseball. Like that sucks. Cause me, it feels
doesn't
like
doesn't feel good. I don't it like
it. It feels like the Nats are so much better than the A's, but it's just like not true. So yeah. Those are my thoughts on the A's. What do you guys think?
I mean, they suck. And the low payroll just pisses me off because you don't care and you're not trying. And it's not fair to your fans. It's why the team is going to end up relocating out of Oakland because the ownership group is awful. And by the way, they traded again, as they always do, their best player to the Braves. Like, I don't know. I hate this team. I feel sorry for their fan base. What remains of it anyway. But, you know, out of obligation, I picked a dark horse for them, which is, make sure I'm saying this correctly, Estuary. It's not Estuary, but Estuary.
That's how I read it. So.
Ruiz. Yeah, I know. Me too. I have a degree in geography, so I can't stop saying Estuary. But anyway, he just steals a million bases, which I love. I find that kind of player to be super fun to watch. He had 85 stolen bases in the minors last year, which is just insane. So they're, you know, hoping that he's going to do that. He had a really good 2022 and he's just a fun kid to watch. I don't think he's gonna, you know, I think of dark horses, who's gonna be the player that makes the team competitive, and I don't think there's anyone who could make this team competitive, but he's the guy I'm most interested to watch.
I think that's fair. Ryan, what are your thoughts on the Athletics?
I mean, Oakland deserves better. Mm-hmm. Oakland deserves better. I don't think the ownership group invests in the team until they relocate, which sucks for Oakland fans because they really do deserve better. Like, they pack that place when they're good. And it's just the team sucks, and it's kind of hard to believe in them or even their farm system and player development because this ownership group absolutely refuses to invest at any level of this team. So it's not really fair to them. And I will not be picking anything just because they're not worth it.
They don't deserve it.
Yeah, I completely support that decision. My dark horse for them is the other 29 owners in baseball and whether or not they will approve the relocation to another city. Because that's...
I just feel so bad for Oakland. Man, they lost the Raiders. They're about to lose the Athletics. Like,
the Raiders suck. That was doing them a service. But...
I know, but it sucks to. I can't even imagine losing two.
There's so many other good teams in California. Just root for one of them instead.
I know, but you can't just change who you root for. It sucks. And as somebody who is a lifelong, as somebody who's like a lifelong Redskins, Washington football team, Commanders fan who has watched, excuse you, what?
We don't use that word around these parts.
Yeah, well, I do. But anyway, as a fan of this franchise and who has watched an ownership group destroy it and gotten to the point where I won't go to the games or spend any money on the merch. And it's a shitty thing to watch a team you love just go completely down the toilet. And then, you know, I feel for their fans. I really, really do. And the fact that they're going to lose their team is, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I just feel awful for them. I think it's bad for baseball. This is the kind of stuff that we need a salary floor. That's a much bigger discussion, but there needs to be a salary floor in this league, because the fact that owners can do this and then still participate in the profit sharing is such BS.
I mean, baseball has like the worst owners of any major sport. So
yeah,
it is what it is. But I do think Ryan had a legitimate point. Like, they're not really going to do anything until they relocate. So
yeah, and
that's ultimately what it comes down to. Like, they're going to need to just hold out hope until they relocate. But at the very least, they need a new stadium. That place is a dump. Oakland deserves better, but you know, it is what it is. Does Jorge Alfaro have like the best hair in baseball?
I mean,
yes.
He's on the list.
I mean, I'm watching him round the bases right now, and it's just like magnificent.
It is. It's like, yeah, it's like flowing locks. It looks like the cover of a romance novel or something with the long hair. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Random thought of the day for
dispatches me. From the random thought universe. Yeah,
well, I am watching it, so I guess it's not too random, but yeah, just a random thought. The
Nationals, did you see that fantastic bobble situation from the U.S. team there in the field a minute ago?
I sure did because I'm watching. The Nats will host the Athletics in the Toilet Bowl from August 11th through the 13th, so we will see who comes out on top or at the bottom of that series. You know, that's a race for the number. Well, I guess it's not a race for the number one pick, since the Nationals can't get the number one pick anymore due to the lottery.
Of course, it coincides with the Nats tanking that they changed the rules. So
yeah, well, I do think it's for the best, but it's annoying that it has to be right now.
The timing sucks. It's a good idea, but the timing sucks.
For sure. You guys feel like the USA is going to lose? I feel like the USA is going to lose. Feels like a game they lose. Am I just?
Yeah, I'm the eternal pessimist, so yeah. I'll go with that.
You are not the. Are you kidding me? Compared to me and Ryan,
to my teams, I always expect the worst. So I'm expecting. Plus, I picked them to win the whole thing, so certainly they're going to go out in the first round just to spite me.
Well, that's what happened to me. So, anyways,
yeah,
so.
That did happen to you. Who did you pick, Ryan? Remind me.
I picked Japan.
Well.
Allegedly. No, actually, dude.
Allegedly.
No,
I think you're right. Yeah, me too. Me too. I picked Japan.
I confuse myself, and I think, Ryan, I don't know if you do too, but like, we'll text each other who we think is going to win MVP, but then we'll pick someone else for like a article on the site, and then we'll say something different on the show. So I lose track of my predictions from
me too. And that's sometimes I just like, it depends on what kind of a mood I'm in that day. Like,
yeah,
sometimes I think it's one thing and sometimes I think it's another.
Legitimately is my mood. I'm like, we'll go this one too.
This team sucks today.
Well, if I'm just like salty about something and I'm just, I don't know, sometimes it just changes. Sometimes you're feeling one thing and sometimes you're feeling another.
Yep. It happens. It'd be like that sometimes.
It do.
All right. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I love the Caps, but I wish they would just lose at this point so they get a better draft pick. They won in a shootout. And I'm like, come on, guys. Really?
I mean, cap stock on this podcast is like, has always been.
I know.
Come on, really? But like, cap stock now and this economy on this podcast? I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah. I almost interrupted the podcast in the middle when they went on the shootout, but I decided to wait till the end.
That's very admire my admirable. Restraint, Nick. Yeah, that's very admirable of you. Ryan, any final thoughts?
No, I'm excited for the rest of the rounds of the World Baseball Classic. And I'm also excited for Cuba to play in Miami. I felt bad that they had to go halfway around the world and play in Taiwan, but I'm really glad that they get to finally play some games in Miami, because that crowd is going to be very hype, as was the atmosphere tonight for Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
I mean, the fans in the World Baseball Classic have been better than Major League Baseball fans. Maybe that should be my final thought.
The crowds have been electric.
Amanda, that's a great point, because culture around baseball is so much better in every single country besides America.
Yeah, people, the fans here are boring in comparison.
Old white men have ruined it.
Well, I have loved watching it just to see how insane the crowds are and how hyped up they get. I mean, and for some of these, you know, this is a much, for countries that don't have a major league, you know, that the kind of thing that we have here that we get to watch all the time and we take for granted. I think this is a much bigger deal for most of those countries than it is for America, which is kind of ironic given that we are, you know, the place where all the best players in the world come to play. But it's been awesome. And it makes me feel like the rest of us fans here in the U.S. need to step up our game.
The World Baseball Classic is just so awesome. And this is going to sound like a dumb comment on the surface, but like, I know we have all-star games, but just seeing this crop of players like come together and be on the same team, like there's a mound visit and I just saw like Trey Turner next to Nolan Arenado. I'm just like, bro, like this is awesome. Granted, they're about to lose, the bases are loaded right now, and you have freaking Merrill Kelly on the mound, but anyways, like just also, seeing them come together is like awesome.
Something happens within Javi Baez and Francisco Lindor. As soon as those jerseys come on, both of them turn into Hall of Famers. It's so funny.
It is fantastic. Although I wish some of the American pitchers who were worth a damn had decided to join the American team. That would have been good.
Yeah, but no, to Ryan's point, like these players, obviously, like I'm not, you know, saying anything new here, but they still have such an affinity for the country, and that like representing your country means something. And you have like the Olympics or a lot of other sports, but like baseball has such a eclectic group of players from different, you know, nationalities, that like the World Baseball Classic is so, you know, vital to the sport. And I almost wish, like, I get once every 4 years, and it's been longer because of COVID this year, or like this time, but I almost want it like every single year.
I would watch this every year.
It's so vital to the sport. And, you know, to your guys' points, like the atmosphere has been electric. Like you could just feel it. And, you know,
it feels like playoff baseball, which is awesome. And I do wish that it weren't at this time. Like, yeah, I don't like it to be in spring training. I don't even know what would be a better time, but like these guys aren't even like warmed up. I'd love to see it maybe after the season when
I talked about this with Ryan, and I ultimately ended up agreeing with him. Like I don't think after the season would be the answer, just because like guys are fresh off throwing 200 innings and they like really need to rest, and you know the playoff teams usually have like some of the best pitchers, so like that wouldn't be a solution to, you know, get better pitching. The thing I wish the MLB did is kind of acknowledge it a little bit more and just like delay the start of the season by 2 weeks. Cause like the whole tournament lasts like 3 weeks or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like you can delay the start of the season 2 weeks and not really have it affect too much. Obviously there's, you know, all the logistical side, but like you could do it if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
So I just wish they just push back the season, and then you probably get some other guys who are like, yeah, I'll go, you know, represent my country and, you know, represent a little bit more than
they got out of the bases loaded jam.
Unreal. My final thought. So Bally Sports, who's a, you know, network, I think they have like 14 MLB teams. We have Mass, and Bally Sports is the representative for a lot of different teams. They've gone bankrupt, and like that's, you know, a shame, but they'll continue to distribute games. My like final thought, MLB said they would step in and distribute those games, basically just admitting that they can get rid of blackouts and distribute games locally whenever they want. So kind of bullshit. So, but
I hope that this will maybe hasten the end of the whole regional sports network model that we're in right now.
Are any of them doing well outside of like the YES Network?
I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think any of them are doing especially well. I mean, Masson is circling the drain,
Right.
obviously. And you know, now Bally Sports is down. That's 15 teams. That's half of baseball right now that doesn't have a functioning, you know, RSN. So I don't know. I would love to see it if they just like decided to bag the whole idea and just stream like they should have done years ago.
Yeah. So I just had to mention that. It's just like we always knew they could if they really wanted to. They just didn't want to.
Yeah.
The sport pisses
But it's
me off
so irritating
sometimes.
to have it demonstrated to you that they could have done it anytime they wanted and they just didn't.
Yeah. Also, the final thought, Cade Cavalli injured.
Oh.
I hate to end on a down note, but it could be significant. We don't want to speculate any or anything like that, but it was very reminiscent of the st first Steven Strasburg injury way back in what 2011?
11?
Is that when it was against
10,
Cleveland?
11? Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, we definitely don't want to speculate, but it just did not look good, and not that,
It feels like
we don't need that
a
right now.
UCL. I don't want to
Yeah,
say it, but it feels like a UCL.
we do not need that right now. So hoping it's something minor, but also kind of expecting the worst for Cade, unfortunately. So we shall see. It's
Probably
draft
never
season, ladies and gentlemen. We're focused on the MLB draft.
will. It's always draft season around here right now.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, that does it for this episode. Next week, we will be tackling the NL West as we circle back through the NL and finish up with the NL East and obviously talk more Nats coverage and their season. I'm sure that'll be like the most joyous episode we ever have, full of optimism and hope. But anyways, you can follow us on Twitter, Ryan at We Are All Shaq, Amanda at A White 7877, and myself at the Coach Moose and the show at Half Street High Heat. Be sure to check out halfstreetheight.com. Monty and the crew pumping out articles basically every single day, sometimes multiple times a day. Nationals, college baseball, and just general MLB and everything in between. They got you covered. Be sure to check out Half Street High Heat on YouTube. Trey with his amazing videos multiple times a week as well. So be sure to go over to YouTube and subscribe and check out District on Deck as well. We are publishing articles over there every single day. So plenty of content coming at you right now as we wind down spring training, and obviously with the World Baseball Classic going on and approach the season just in what, 2 weeks? Two
Oof,
weeks or so.
coming up on
So
us.
yeah, it'll be here before we know it. So be sure to get plugged in, get back into baseball mode as you should be already with the World Baseball Classic going on, but back into Nationals mode at least as we gear for the season. All right, that does it for this episode. Be sure to check us out basically everywhere. We're everywhere now. Be sure to check us out. In the meantime, let's go Nats.
There's a new breeze blowing off the banks of the Potomac. A new team's mowing down the ranks of their opponents. The Nationals are smashing balls, so that the commentator who has the calls has passed the wall to see you later. Let's go Nats. We've got a game to play. We're gonna win today. Let's by the early light of dawn, well, you can see they're running scared, 'cause the kinds of bombs we're launching are bursting in the air. Tell the Library of Congress that they might not want to look, 'cause we're putting curly W's in every book. Let's go Nats. We've got a game to play. We're gonna win today. Let's go. So race and tell the president.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.